You may be right, and I may be crazy. Well, anyway, welcome to the Morning Edge. I'm Floyd J. Winters, and I may be crazy, but I may be right. And here is Augie.
Good morning, Tampa Bay. Well, you can hear something this morning. By golly, Friday we were down. The station was down. I apologize. We had plans for Friday. We also had plans for an author previously. And it looks as though we may have that author finally. Nick Bryant is going to be calling in here, and we'll be talking to him about the issue of sex trafficking and the D.C. Madam issues and that kind of stuff, if you will.
Sex in the morning. Okay,
sex
I can deal with that.
It'll wake you up with an upright position in life, whatever that might be. In any case, the sex trafficking issue has been discussed on this show before. But we're going to wait for Nick's call here shortly. In any event, I think, the light's not going on yet. In any case, there are some things going on with the Goofy and the governor in Tallahassee. Get Tallahassee down to Orlando where it's properly located if you read the Constitution.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
how about that?
The Constitution requires to be in the center of the population, not in 1800, but right now.
No, I mean the Mickey Mouse stuff about our government. The new thing about we had 3/4 of Floridians voted for the land conservation amendment, 3/4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they basically, the legislature says, we don't want that, and they're ignoring the voters. We had the voters of Florida who in favor of the high-speed rail. The legislature and the governor, the Republican, and the paper says Republican legislature, Republican government. Interesting, the paper's
they don't believe in government. That's what they do.
Yeah, so
they ignore the people, they don't govern.
So, yeah. We vote for the high-speed rail, but the Republican government says, no, we won't have it.
Yeah.
We vote for redistricting, but the Republican government says, no, we won't have redistricting that deals with
are not of the Republican Party.
Right, but they gerrymander our districts, and it's just absurd. But they've given almost nothing to the Florida Land Conservation Amendment that was passed by 3/4 of Floridians, including a lot of Republicans voted in favor of this to restore the Everglades. But there's still interest in campaign contributions and power and money from the sugar industry, which is opposed to this. But I guess we're going to go on to our caller. We'll see if this is our caller. Caller, you are live at 1490 AM. Can you hear us? Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Nick. Good morning, Nick Bryant. The author that we somehow had a miscue on. There was some misinformation from Booth Publishing and yourselves and myself. Fortunately, I managed to read the text in the book by Mr. Vinson on the DC Madam, and I happen to be pretty well backgrounded on sex trafficking, and of course right now there's legislation coming forward in the case of the Attorney General and sex trafficking in the Congress right now coming forward, and what that's going to do. There was a mention in there of John's Law, which I've pushed for a long, long time. If you can go to jail for 6 months for having child pornography on your computer after 2 occasions of the police finding it, why can't you go to jail for molesting somebody between 11 and 14 and not be excused because they happen to be part of a pimp's sex ring? But that's a question that it's just too damn difficult, Nick. What do you think?
Well, I wrote a book called The Franklin Scandal, A Story of Power Brokers, Child Abuse, and Betrayal. And I believe it's the only book that really documents a transcontinental pedophile network.
Mm-hmm.
And it also documents the cover-up of that network.
But, Nick, before we get into it too far, tell us a little more and some of the other books you've done besides The Franklin Scandal. You've done a number of books, and you assisted Mr. Vinson with his book.
Yes, I've written quite extensively on children's issues.
Mm-hmm.
I published a book called America's Children Triumph for Tragedy that addresses lower socioeconomic children in America. And my writing on children's issues has been published in the Journal of Professional Ethics, Journal of School Health, the Journal of actually a number of different journals and a number of different magazines too. So I've focused quite heavily on children's issues.
And your motive, of course, you care about children, but what is your what's your ultimate motive, or do you have one?
Well, I think that children are the most, you'll have to excuse the sounds of New York City in the background, that's where I live. I think that America's most precious resource is its children, and America, unfortunately, is shortchanging its children at this point. There's not enough money for certain types of children's services, and I think that child trafficking is rampant in our country, and it needs to be addressed.
Yeah, Florida is a big stopping off point, depending on what city is near the local interstate highway system, and how. And during the Great Recession, the near depression, we had the sex trafficking buying up housing so that they could pop the gangs from house to house and move around and make it so that the police, who weren't in on the game of taking part in sex trafficking, which many police are, would not catch the wrong people, that is the politicians who were involved in sex parties involving children. And I had proposed a John's Law down here, and a politician said to me, you complain about the jails being too full, they'd really, really be overflowing if you did what you're talking about, Augie. I said, wouldn't that be a shame? But anyway, Nick, what are your thoughts on it? I think Florida has got 300,000 children annually that are swallowed up, and mostly white. They're not coming out of South America, Central America, like people imagine. That is a fiction, actually, because they're gathered up out of the malls and things, upset children and things like that.
Well, that's a real misnomer, and I think Americans and the mainstream media is responsible for that, and Americans don't realize that 85% of the children that are trafficked in the United States are American children. They're not from Eastern Europe. They're not from Mexico. They're not from South America. That they're American children. That isn't a phenomenon that's just peculiar to Florida, but it's across the entire country.
It's rampant, and they're white mostly because they gain more money for the pimps. They're easier to sell. They can bleach their hair or dye their hair, as the case may be, shave their eyebrows, take away their cell phones, pimp them into the gangs, and the business goes on online and everything else. And my question is, in this situation, why can't we call a contract to sell a child between a John and a pimp? Prostitution on the organized prostitution and RICO violations and every other thing, and statutory rape.
Well, we should, and actually, the RICO law has not been used that extensively for child trafficking and sex trafficking. It has been used, but it hasn't been used that extensively. And at this point, I think that we do have the tools to do it. The RICO law. But we don't have the will. We don't have the resources.
No, is the will and are the will and the resources separated by politicians and the important people who are enjoying this, like the Catholic Church has been for a long, long time? Marcel Marcellus, who's now dead, out of Mexico, who was a buddy of John Paul II, who brought bags of money like Cardinal Spellman did out of New York. I never always wondered where that money that Cardinal Spellman brought to the papacy. But Marcelo Mussolini did the same thing coming out of from the boys' schools that he ran, and he sold pornography, sold children. He did the whole game, and he was embraced by John Paul II in Rome.
Well, Catholic orphanages, the Franklin scandal, a book I wrote about the Transcontinental Pedophile Network, a lot of the kids that these pedophilic pimps were getting for this Transcontinental Pedophile Network were from Boys Town, the distinguished Catholic orphanage.
Boys Town, isn't that Nebraska?
Yes.
Heartland of the United States, the goodness of... who was the... Spencer Tracy played the benevolent priest in Boys Town in the movie.
Yes.
Bing Crosby sang those wonderful songs about the goodness of America and doing good for the children of the orphans and so on. Wow.
So, in that situation, there was a father named Father James Kelly that was very high up in the Boys Town hierarchy. And he was a pedophile. And it's easy to see how he could have, in fact, facilitated that.
Why do you say that? That's interesting.
Well, a lot of times when pedophiles are compromised, people can get dirt on pedophiles, and there are a number of people in law enforcement that have also been apprehended that have sex with underage children. Once someone is compromised in a position of power, like, for example, in an orphanage, then they're much more susceptible to getting, you know, providing children to whoever might be, in fact, compromising them.
So that goes, that touches back on the book, The D.C. Madam, and Mr. Vinson being denying in the book that he was really compromised over that issue, but knew that filming was going on and his escorts that were being, male escorts that were being provided along with others as part of the orgies that were, that he witnessed as video. That whole thing meshes back into this, and so then the blackmail and the CIA and the second government and all this stuff starts to mush and mix together to a real smelly stew.
Yes, and actually my book, The Franklin Scandal, A Story of Power Brokers, Child Abuse and Betrayal, is about that particular network.
Oh, really?
And yes, and that's how I met Henry Vinson, because Henry Vinson was providing escorts to the people that were running the pedophile network. They would provide politicians and power brokers with whatever they wanted. If they wanted young men in their 20s, they'd provide them with young men in their 20s. If they wanted young women in their 20s, they'd provide them with young women in their 20s. If they wanted children, they'd provide these power brokers with children. So it was the same network.
A sexual supermarket.
Yes, and it was covered up in Nebraska with two grand juries, and it was also covered up in Washington, D.C. with a grand jury.
So the grand juries, the ham sandwiches that they always talk about, are of a certain variety, the ham being a little bit stinky. Well, let's turn up our nose and not really look at the evidence and really avoid the obvious unpleasantness of tearing down our wonderful leaders who take part with children, for crying out loud. Holy mackerel.
Yes, the Franklin scandal delineates that very well. And
There was actually
a young woman who was part of the network that refused to recant her abuse, and she was sentenced to between 9 and 15 years for perjury.
I don't have the book in front of me, but in the D.C. Madam book by Mr. Vinson, the mention of the D.C. Madam who ended up dead, who was about to testify, whose name right now escapes me.
Deborah Jean Palfrey.
Right, Palfrey. She was, that came out in the news and the whole thing. I mean, our CIA, they run our drones. they have gone crazy since Truman couldn't make up his mind whether to get rid of them or not. And now to the present, there are many people who allege they're a second government. And so this is another controlling, blackmailing issue that they can take part in.
Exactly. And it was a CIA asset who ran the pedophile network and who was responsible for compromising these politicians. He had a house that was wired for audiovisual blackmail, and anybody that took part in any behavior that was compromising in that house, and as I said earlier, people would be provided with whatever sexual partners they wanted, and they'd also be provided with whatever drugs they wanted, and he would have wild parties, and if you partook of anything, you would be compromised.
Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about Mr. Spence, is it?
Yes, Craig Spence.
Craig Spence, yeah. I'm operating on recall because I read the book. I was a little disappointed in the novel. I shouldn't say novel, but I'm not sure what you would call it. But anyway,
it's a memoir.
Yeah, I think it is a memoir. It was sort of Mr. Vinson seemed to be wanting to expunge his life and explain it away, and he missed his mother and all of that sort of thing, and mother being a real factor in keeping him from sinking out of sight until she died.
He's done pretty well since then.
Has he really?
On his own, yes.
He has. Okay.
He's been a very successful businessman.
Good. Well, coming back to this issue, there was a law put into the legislation by the Congress, a congressman out of Texas, I think a senator, who put that stipulation in the Johns Law that it would be treated as statutory rape to have sex with anybody. However you came across them, it wouldn't be the girl next door necessarily only. It would be anyone, period. Underage, that is.
Yes. Well, I think that we need to start sending messages to people that are purchasing sex that children are off limits. And until our society fully gets behind that, this is just going to continue to be a massive problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, states' rights make these things difficult because, you know, the states, the police, for a lot of this stuff to be successful, the police have to be in on it. And whether it's drugs or sex, which they're now deciding the real money is in sex, selling it. And what kind of dollars are we talking about?
Well, it's you sell a drug once, but you can sell a sex worker multiple times. There have been figures that have been put out about how much a sex worker makes, but it's really difficult to know the exact number. But yes, I mean, the thing about it is, as I said before, you sell a drug once, but you can sell a person a myriad of times, a number of different times. So, and you can sell them multiple times throughout the course of a day. So, there is big money in sex trafficking.
Well, you know, the thing that's rather interesting I've interviewed a few people on this thing, and when I bring up the Johns Law, well, it's hard to do. It's hard to do. No, it's not. You have to have the will to do this stuff. And you have to call people out when you do that, and you have to. They have to. I mean, I've attended some events and so forth, and I remember one where I said what I'm saying now. I said then, and the woman stood up. My husband's a deputy, and you have to have the testimony of the John, and it's his word against the girls. I said this is an underage person whose word under those conditions isn't coerced one way or the other. I said, are you kidding? I said, you're wanting to defend your husband? Why? Why would you do that? And then she couldn't explain herself, and she was, you know, frustrated and embarrassed. But putting this back onto the public, if you keep...
Never underestimate the power of denial.
Yeah, Nick. So what are you working on now, Nick, in particular? Is this, you're continuing in this direction, or...
Yes, earlier you asked me about my writing, kind of got me off by surprise. But yeah, my writing on children's issues have been published in a lot of different academic journals, Journal of Professional Ethics, Journal of Applied Developmental Psychology, Journal of Social Distress and Homelessness, Journal of Healthcare for the Poor and Underserved, and Journal of School Health. And then I've also written America's Children Triumph and Tragedy, Addressing the Medical and Developmental Problems of Lower Socioeconomic Children in America. And then I've written The Franklin Scandal, which, as I said earlier, is really the only book that's been written that really documents a transcontinental pedophile network and the cover-up of a transcontinental pedophile network.
Yeah, the senator I was thinking was John Cornyn out of Texas, who added the Johns Law as part of the legislation over the Loretta Lynch confirmation that they were holding up. I'm just recalling that I don't have a computer to look it up, but the point is that it's there. The people are aware of it. The anecdotal stuff that comes up when children disappear. What happens in that situation, Nick? I mean,
well, it's kind of funny. The FBI can tell you exactly how many cars disappeared last year, but they can't tell you how many children disappeared.
Yeah, that's an interesting. Why? The obvious question. Why?
The obvious question is we don't put enough resources into that particular facet of law enforcement, and America really needs to wake up that way as far as allocating resources to fighting child sex trafficking.
What kind of resources are going to take, and who's going to conduct this kind of an effort to protect the children? I mean, if the malls are being the social gathering place, and the predatory pimps are hanging there with their good-looking lovers ready to seduce a young, upset, emotionally disturbed child, male or female, to take them off for a movie and a coke, and then they disappear and get gang raped on the way to a life of hell. Why aren't the malls a focal point for the recruitment that goes on?
Well, as I said earlier, there isn't enough resources that goes into this, but there are also large networks at play. Jeffrey Epstein is an example of that. And I don't know if you're familiar with him.
No, I'm not.
He actually lives in Florida. But he's been responsible for flying children all around, young girls, and providing them to various Democratic power brokers. And the Palm Beach Police Department launched an investigation into him, and they had five of his underage victims come forward, and ultimately it went to a grand jury that didn't indict him on one count of child abuse.
Not one.
And the feds came in and said that they were going to exact justice, and the Department of Justice got cop-assed like the state had gotten cop-assed, and he was ultimately indicted for pandering of one minor, and he served 18 months in a county jail. Well, actually, he was sentenced to 18 months in a county jail. He served 13. But since then, he's settled over 30 molestation lawsuits in civil court.
I mean, he settled and paid out money. What kind of payouts did he do?
They're fairly large, some of them, and that's the problem, because the federal government had a list of like 35 of his victims, and that's what they did. And he was represented by Alan Dershowitz. I've written some articles on Gawker about Jeffrey Epstein. Your listeners might want to go to Google Nick Bryant and Gawker.
Well, do you want to repeat that one more time so people get it clearly? Google Mick's...
Nick, your listeners might want to Google Nick Bryant Gawker and look at the articles that I've written on Jeffrey Epstein.
Gawker, did you say, or Block?
Gawker.
O-G-A-W-K-E-R?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I see. And Nick Bryant Gawker. Mm-hmm. Are you naming names in the whole process, or what's happening?
Well, I've got flight logs of Jeffrey Epstein, and a number of interesting people show up on those flight logs, like Bill Clinton and Alan Dershowitz, to name a few.
Yeah, I've heard allegations that Dershowitz has had not necessarily a sterling thing in that regard.
Well, that comes out of allegations generally come out of the Jeffrey Epstein case. Mm-hmm. So, if your listeners really, and that's another example of someone who was flying kids all around and providing them to powerful people, and who basically got a slap on the wrist. It's very similar to my Franklin scandal book, and there's a cover up going on right now in the UK. Regarding Jimmy Savile and a number of powerful people who were molesting children.
Tell us who Jimmy, what's his last name?
Jimmy Savile. He was a big shot at the BBC who had his own television show. And
did he die recently? Is he alive?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes. And he was also a pedophilic pimp and a serial predator. And what he got away with is quite mind-boggling.
I think we're going to move to a break here. And come back to you if you could hold, and we may end up
sure.
with some callers in the process. So
talking with Nick Bryant, author of The Franklin Scandal and on sex child trafficking. We will be back after this break in 1 minute.
Walks with the animals. Sarasota is home to a true gift, the Posture Clinic of Sarasota, with Dr. Mark D'Amato, 4450 South Tamiami Trail. Dr. D'Amato is a veterinary chiropractor, treating horses, dogs, or your favorite four-legged friend. First and foremost, animal chiropractic care is not intended to replace traditional veterinary medicine. Complementary care is a type of care that works with your vet, and certainly not instead of them. To find out more information, call Dr. Mark D'Amato at 941-927-7009. That's 941-927-7009. Oh, and by the way, Dr. Mark treats two-legged patients, too.
With the animals. With the animals.
And we are back with author Nick Bryant, author about child sex trafficking. Nick, I have a question for you. How many times
Sure.
do innocent people get caught up in this who have been accused of child sex trafficking or having sex with minors when it's just simply a political ploy to get rid of somebody who may have said something about another politician and they just simply want to entrap them? So I know it can happen on both ends where people are accused who may be absolutely innocent and they get in trouble. Does that happen very often?
It does, but it doesn't happen that often. That's where people have a lot of misconceptions. I mean, granted, it does. People get accused falsely of abuse, but it doesn't happen that often. It's there's a federal judge named Patrick Schlitz. And he was served as an attorney for a number of different Catholic dioceses, and he adjudicated 500 cases of sexual abuse lawsuits for the Catholic Church. And he said that fewer than 10 of those he felt that fewer than 10 of those 500 cases were cases where someone was lying. So I think that people that come forward and accuse someone of sexual abuse, I mean, the vast majority of the time they're telling the truth.
Well, wouldn't that be true because these are children mostly we're talking about here that are caught up in this whole thing, and in the case of the Catholic Church, Cardinal O'Malley, who is the chief advisor for Pope Francis right now, has warned him that if he does not complete the expungement and the ridding of the Catholic Church in September in a meeting they're about to have on this very issue from the pedophilia standpoint, at least, if not more, he is said to that he will resign, and all the members in the commission that Francis put forward with the promise that this would take place will resign officially and make a media message to the public of what is really going on in the church. He's under threat right now, and O'Malley has been his big buddy. He's O'Malley, I think, is either a Jesuit or a Franciscan, I forget which, but he's an order priest or cardinal, and Francis depends on him. In fact, they live together when he comes to Rome in an apartment separate from the Vatican. Francis doesn't trust his life's future if he lives in the Vatican very long. If you remember, John Paul I lasted about a month and a half when he announced the eventual incarceration of Cardinal Cody and several others. But so this thing is deep, wide, and very, very messy, the Catholic Church being at the forefront of this behavior and having taken and made money from it. And with this thing in Mexico City, it's ironic that John Paul II went to Mexico City and told the families of the disappeared, no more liberation theology, folks. Go your way, deal with things, accept your fate, and the oligarchs will take care of the hindmost and all of the messiness. It will go away. So this thing is pretty heavy, and important people come tumbling down in the face of this. So I'm with you, and I'm not too the denial issue. I'm sure people have been smeared by and the blackmailing thing from Spence and those kinds of people. put people in line pretty easily. So I'm done with my speech there.
Well, Mexico's interesting. The age of consent in some Mexican states is as low as 12, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. 12 years old can be the age of the consent in some Latin American states.
To have sex with adults
or have sex with, and it depends too what the age of consent means. It may be having sex with adults or having sex with another person. Sometimes that age limit is different too, between 5 years difference or between 2 years or 0 years.
So you're saying then that it's not a crime in that situation?
According to the government laws that may be there in certain, and I'm opposed to such laws. I'm very much opposed to. I'm just making a comment.
The law is the law.
That in some countries the age of consent can be as low as 12 years old.
Nick, you were going to say something.
Well, it's just, I think it's very telling that Patrick Schlicht, who's now formerly litigated all these lawsuits, 500 lawsuits for the Catholic Church, and now he's a federal judge, and he litigated over 500 cases.
Where is he located?
I believe he's in Minnesota now, but he said that fewer than 2% of those cases he saw people were lying, were based on false accusations. So when people come forward with these allegations, the vast majority, I believe, are telling the truth. And I've been researching this for 12 or 13 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just brought down a bishop in Kansas City, Finn by the name, who was actually prosecuted on probation over hiding material regarding certain pedophile priests. We had a situation years ago, very popular bishop down in the Venice diocese I don't know if he's even alive anymore, but Nevins, who with the complicity of the Charlotte Sheriff's Department ripped up all kinds of evidence, and the Sarasota Herald Tribune at the time did I think a three full page article on the hiding and destroying of evidence. The church is pretty powerful down here in Florida. They own all kinds of land and properties. They have for years. The Irish Catholic priesthood would come down here, set up business and buy up land, and of course that comes off the tax rolls, and then of course other stuff happens, and this sort of thing goes on. And celibacy goes marching on, and priests become what they become, and the thing starts to fall apart and shred as it's doing now. The embarrassments of how do you hold this thing together with all the money at stake has got to be political.
Well, absolutely, and what I show in the Franklin scandal is that very, very powerful people, unfortunately, have a predilection for children. And as long as that goes unchecked, they're going to be able to cover up. Because in the Franklin scandal, I show an extraordinary cover-up of a transcontinental pedophile network. And these networks, and with Jeffrey Epstein, you saw, there was a huge cover-up. So there's, and also in the U.K., there's been a
so what,
huge
what
cover-up.
Is that so, with the U.K.? I mean, the guy that you talked about who recently died, and he was very popular on the television and so forth over in the U.K., that was affecting the government somehow, as I recall.
He was providing children to high-ranking members of Parliament and also reportedly the Cabinet. And law enforcement. So everybody was in on that. And every facet of government was in on that. And so that's why it was so immaculately covered up. And that's why it's immaculately covered up here.
Yeah, we're going to be getting a caller to ask a question of you, Nick. Would you be willing to do that?
Sure.
Sure. Do we have a caller right now?
Yes, we have John from Sarasota. John, welcome to the Morning Edge. What is your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. Now, before I make some comments and pose this question, I want to make it perfectly clear. I'm just speculating. I don't know. I don't know if what I've suspected is fact, but it's just entirely speculation. I'd like to bring the conversation to our own backyard here. On television from time to time, I've seen these investigative reports about these Japanese massage parlors, these Oriental massage parlors, these Oriental spas. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes they're fronts for human trafficking. Now, here in Sarasota County and in Manatee County and up north in Tampa and St. Pete, we have a proliferation of these Oriental spas, these Japanese saunas. As you drive down 41 from Bradenton to Sarasota, you must see three or four of these. And there's some down here in the county. Now, again, I have no idea. I'm not suggesting. I have no fact. But I'll just say I have wondered if, you know, with the proliferation of these kinds of Japanese spas, Oriental spas, et cetera, et cetera. And they're everywhere down here. I've always wondered, could these be a front for trafficking? I'm just speculating. I'm not making a comment on any establishment because I don't know, but I've wondered.
And do you have any other thought, John?
No, sir.
That's the entirety. Okay. All right. Give us a call back if you have any other thoughts. That's fine. Nick, what do you think?
Well, it's difficult to know. But as we talked about earlier, when you get into child trafficking, 85% of the children that are trafficked in the United States are American children. So there could be trafficking going on in those. I just don't know.
Well, that would be, Nick, that would be an interesting cover, wouldn't it? I mean, if they're putting Oriental people and other people as a gauze over the thing to make it look as though it's something other than what it really is, that's a good way to do it, if John's right. If there's an implication there or just the thought crosses one's mind, it wouldn't be so out of line. It's just that the art of concealment, the false ID of these 11 to 15, that, let's reestablish something. The age of these rings of underage people is, remind us of the age.
Well, in the Franklin scandal, the youngest child that I heard about was probably 8 or 9. And with Jeffrey Epstein, the youngest child was 12. So, and these were kids that were pandered to very powerful people. So we've got some very powerful people in this country that are truly twisted.
Now, Nick, I'm going to stop you for a second. I can see a 14 or 15-year-old girl who runs away from home, gets involved with a person who may kind of give her some shelter and some food and then string her on to become later on sex traffic worker. But how about someone who's 8 or 9? How do you acquire a person that young, and how would that it just doesn't seem to make much sense.
It does. There are families that are extremely dysfunctional. There are orphanages where people that run the orphanages are pedophiles themselves, and there are families that have pedophiles in them, like the father is a pedophile. So in general, a lot of times they don't have any compunction about pandering their children. So,
do they make money off of it? Do the families then make the money off of the child's being pandered, or do they get simply?
Yes, in the Franklin scandal, I delineate because the Franklin scandal, that trafficking network was so large,
mm-hmm.
And it got children from so many different milieus that it delineates just about every way that you can get a child.
Well, you did have the situation where the guy, I think it was in Cleveland, up in Ohio or somewhere, who had trapped three women in his house and kept having sex with them and impregnating them. And feasibly, these families that are willing to sell their children's sexual service might also just simply sell the children.
That's as sick and horrific as that sounds, that's certainly within the realm of
likelihood,
with this milieu, as horrific as it sounds.
Yeah. Well, we get scandalized easily in this country, but it's so salaciously delightful and delicious for people to wonder and speculate in their imaginations. But since there's no money coming forward to, there's no real outrage, there's no real concern for our children, and the children are, supposedly are the future in this country. So, and the investment in the education system is so meager, and the efforts are so paltry. So we've demonstrated we just don't give a damn in this country. I'm afraid. I think that's the real damnation of the U.S.
Well, that's true. America is a country that pays great lip service to its children, but it doesn't put its money where its mouth is, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's truly an unfortunate reality.
Well, you've got the cover of the church. You've got the cover of the politicians who can pontificate about what they care about or say they care about. And nobody really does anything. Right now, we got a fight in Florida over whether to give people simple health care by bringing Medicaid in under the federal government, and clowns in the House fighting with the clowns in the Senate in the state, and the goofy governor we've got all together working for a way to cheese up the health care system. And the only factor that's messing it all up are the hospitals, who are saying, "You're killing us financially. Care about that. If you don't care about the patients, care about the hospitals and the money they have to pay out to cover the people showing up in the emergency room." So you have that. When these children are trafficked, they're also coming across with disease. They're coming across with injury. But depending on the kind of behavior they're being paid for to provide, so where does this side of it fall, Nick?
Well, it's really going to be up to our politicians, but the problem is the mainstream media really doesn't touch the topic of child trafficking too often. I mean, there's To Catch a Predator, that was a popular show, but it just focused on people living in basically trailer courts or mobile homes. And so ultimately, these larger networks that exist, that have existed for quite some time, have been completely unscathed. And it's going to take a lot of resources and a lot of political will. But child trafficking is a disease within the society, and I think that most Americans don't know how malignant this disease is and how ubiquitous it is.
That's a big word, ubiquitous, so we know what it means. You and I do, but the public doesn't know. Mean it's everywhere.
Yes, and when Americans finally realize that, when they finally do, I think that that'll enable them to galvanize their will. But until that happens, we're going to end up with the same problems that we're currently having right now with regards to child trafficking.
What are you working on right now, Nick, in particular?
I'm working on I'm trying to make the Franklin scandal, which is the book about the child trafficking network,
right,
into a documentary. That's what I'm currently working on.
The Clinton Foundation has come into the news lately, and a gal by the name of Nola Theis out of Fort Myers got a Clinton Award for her efforts on this very subject. She's in Fort Myers. I don't have her phone. But I tried to get her pinned down. I did a television show for 7 years on Comcast down here in this area, and that was one of the subjects. I think I had her two or three times. And when I brought up the issue of a John's Law, a serious John's Law, well, we work with the police. In other words, the police are the impediment, and the politicians and all of that together are really where the buck stops and doesn't go anywhere.
Well, concerning the Clinton Foundation, as I said earlier, I have Clinton on flights with Jeffrey Epstein, who was a major pedophilic pimp, with also unnamed girls. And Jeffrey Epstein also gave money to the Clinton Foundation, which the Clintons have a very seemingly very close relationship to a major pedophilic pimp.
So you got Marcel Marcellus doing it with the Pope, providing the monies and so forth, and the children for the bishops and what have you, and the cardinals and the priesthood and all of that. And here we've got an affiliation with the Clinton Foundation, a noble foundation that has given tons of money to Haiti. Of course, I'm a fan of Bill Clinton. I thought he was a damn good president in a lot of respects. But the point is, Haiti is still where it was. The people living on the streets are still suffering the effects of the earthquake years ago now. And the plight is you know, Dominican Republic's next door. It's like two different worlds. With all the monies, and now we have the monies popping into the Clinton campaign, it's just the self-interest issue. I was watching a video of, I think his name is Lefkowitz, who was proposing Warren step forward and run against Hillary and force the issues out in the open. And I think in terms of politics, someone like yourself is going to have to come and say, look, until the politicians change the game isn't going to change.
Well, it's a situation where Americans have to get edified, and the mainstream media isn't edifying Americans about the situation.
Well, when you say edified, I thought the word edified means lifted up. So are you saying get out of the dirt and get up and do what?
Well, they need to be aware that this is a huge problem within their midst. The Americans really aren't, I fully believe, I mean, and you saw with Jerry Sandusky.
From Penn State.
The incredible outrage. Now, the media needs to take that initiative and apply it towards child trafficking in general. And then once that occurs, then there'll be sufficient outrage where some laws will get changed.
You really raise a huge point there, because now they're trying to restore the, what was the coach's name, the great coach from...
Joe Paterno.
Joe Paterno. Yeah. They're trying to put his statue back that was torn away out of embarrassment from the behavior that he was protecting, much like the bishop's been protecting the various priests. The same behavior was happening at Penn State. And a public institution, and up to that point in time, I don't know what it is now, but Penn State was known as the most licentious, free-loving, wild school you could send your child to coming into college.
Well, and we certainly saw what happens when people see that there's a cover-up of child abuse. Now, what I've written about and what Jeffrey Epstein has gotten away with is exponentially bigger than what happened at Penn State. And we need the media to start focusing on those types of occurrences.
Maybe the title of your next book should be Jerry Sandusky, Who? Who was that?
Yeah.
Or does it really matter what they do at Penn State when they do even worse here, 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 and here? I mean, it's a silly, serious silliness. And, you know, but when we're de-educating our students in the schools to not know about their rights under civics and things like that, and what they're not, how they're being, their lives are being stolen away from them by the low level of education that's being given by incompetent people, the teaching to the test, all this stuff. How are we going to engage a middle class that is dying?
Well, that's another problem. You've got the death of the middle class. There's a lot of problems in America right now, and I think that the wanton destruction of children, whether it be on a wholesale level or a retail level, is one of the outcomes of the disease that America is suffering from, or the malaise that America is currently suffering from.
So what's the reaction to taking it away from America? Here you have Britain with this embarrassed 90 million people in Britain, 350 million in America. In Britain, the parliament's been poisoned, it's been revealed. The character's name again was, how do you spell
Jimmy,
it?
Jimmy Savile.
And he's dead. But others have stepped into his place, I'm sure, and the splash of the mud, the British press seems much more willing to really rough up these people and take charge, although in the case of Murdoch and his involvements in the newspaper that he shut down to shut down the investigation of what he was really doing, was buried pretty effectively. where is it going to go in England?
Well, right now, there was a commission that was put together to look into this, and that commission has been corrupted, unfortunately.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So it's really difficult to follow through on this. This is a very difficult subject because of the media's unwillingness to cover it. The Franklin scandal, I gave copies of the Franklin scandal to producers at Oprah, producers at Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, but she is supposedly a big child right advocate.
I just saw words coming out of both sides of her mouth too many times. But go ahead.
And nothing. And they didn't want to touch this issue.
No.
So we need less hypocrisy by people in the media, for sure, and we also need more will by people in law enforcement, and that's only going to happen, I think, with a groundswell from the American public.
What about Elizabeth Warren? Has she said anything about this issue? Because she's really the groundswell, if you mention it, is really growing in her corner, and Hillary's starting to take off on words from using her ideas and putting it forward as her own. Any thoughts in that area?
I'm not familiar with Elizabeth Warren taking on this issue, but that doesn't mean that she has.
Right. So maybe that's a voice that would help fire up the issues for us, all of us. Nick, this has been great. I think we're coming to the end of the show, but I'm so glad you called in on my cell phone this morning and reminded me that we had a meeting and that was somehow we had a miscue from the publisher, but this is very, very informative, and I'd like to do it again, Nick, if you'd like to do that.
That would be great.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, and anytime you want to do it, we will. If there's anything new coming up, we want you on.
This has been The Morning Edge. We will be back on Wednesday.
And we will have a new author on Wednesday.